Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Mamdani is a terrorist. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, your terrorist therapist and a psychiatrist. So I can analyze all these things. And let me tell you, Mamdani is a piece of work. I could have him on my couch for years, actually. Now, I said it. I called this show Mamdani is a Terrorist. There I said it. People are so afraid, some people are so afraid to acknowledge this. So I thought I would put it out there in no uncertain terms why I'm saying that Mamdani is a terrorist and why this is not only dangerous for the people of New York, of course, in case, you know, as I'm sure most of my listeners know, Mamdani is the mayor of New York City. He's just been elected. And I was born and bred in New York City, which is why I decided to become the terrorist therapist when 9/11 happened. It affected me very deeply because even though I was living in California at the time, my heart was and still is in New York. So when I see New York falling apart under Mamdani, who is not only a terrorist, and he doesn't admit or call himself a terrorist, he does say that he's a Democrat socialist or whatever, but he does say lots of other things. But let's start from the beginning here. I'm going to start with what is a terrorist, okay? And so that I can explain why I am saying that Mamdani, in no uncertain terms, is a terrorist. Now, someone was recently on Fox News, Fox and Friends, and he dared to say Mamdani is a terrorist. Now, if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know that I have said this before, that Mamdani is a terrorist. I used to couch it to some degree by saying Mamdani is a terrorist sympathizer. But now, with the things that he has continued to do and worse things that he's doing, there's no point in hiding it. There's no point in trying to be gentle about it. Let's call a spade a spade. And so Mamdani is a terrorist. Now, when this person said on Fox and Friends that Mamdani is a terrorist, they looked like they were going to, have a meltdown, have a panic attack, that someone would say it this blatantly on national television. But as I said, many of you may know that I've been saying this for years. Okay, so now I'm going to say it even more clearly. A terrorist. What is a terrorist? A terrorist is a person who uses unlawful violence, fear, and intimidation to achieve political, religious, or ideological goals. Core elements of a terrorist include targeting civilians or property and coercing governments or societies. So let's look at each of these parts of the definition. Violence or threat. So, this means a terrorist uses physical force, destruction, or dangerous acts against life and property. Now that's, again, you can be using, the definition of a terrorist is a person who uses unlawful violence or threat, or fear and intimidation, and or motivations, looking at their motivations. So not every terrorist, I'm not saying that Mamdani has killed anybody yet. However, he has incited people to kill Particularly, I'm going to be talking about Netanyahu, how he has incited, and Jews, how he has incited people in New York, anybody listening to him really, to use physical force against Jews and particularly Netanyahu. We'll get to that. Okay. So a terrorist also can use fear and intimidation, which means intentionally creating widespread terror in a public audience far beyond the immediate victim. And certainly, Mamdani has been inciting in terror in the people who live in New York and beyond, because this is not really just a New York problem, New York City. This is a problem. I mean, this is the number one city in America. And if he can do what he's doing in New York, he can do it, or there will be people who can do it, who will do it in other cities throughout America. Motivations. A terrorist acts to advance political, social, religious, or ideological objectives. Now, Mamdani is not just a terrorist, he's a radical Islamist terrorist. This is my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. His idea, is all radical Islamists. I mean, basically, he's waging jihad in New York City, really. And so the motivations of radical Islamist terrorists are to take over a country, a city, a place, and cause the infidels, attack the infidels, either make them convert to Islam, or make them pay the jizya, a tax, or kill them. So there we have it, the definition, he fits into it, and as you will hear as I continue. So when you try to research the connection between Mamdani and terrorism, you find some interesting things. First of all, there was the foiled attack at Gracie Mansion. Now, on March 7th, 2026, there were two men from Pennsylvania who came and they flung improvised explosive devices towards Gracie Mansion, which is the house of the New York City mayor. Now, Mamdani was not there at the time, but they still threw these devices towards his house. And it was 18-year-old Amir Balat and 19-year-old Ibrahim Kayumi. And they have been arrested. And federal prosecutors charged them with terror offenses and supporting ISIS. Now, Mayor Mamdani condemned the attack and emphasized that violence would not be tolerated. Now, it's kind of interesting that they support ISIS, and yet they were attacking Gracie Mansion, where they expected Mamdani to be inside, since he is a terrorist, in my opinion, as I'm describing. Now, they particularly, there were certain things that they found that they disagreed with in regard to Mamdani. Nobody got hurt. Well, actually, I'm not sure if nobody got killed, but I think there might have been some injured. Now, the second thing that connects Mamdani directly to terrorism is the whole issue about Netanyahu. Now, and I'm going to get into that in more detail, but as you may know, in July, in this month, a little earlier this month, Mayor Mamdani stated that he was going to arrest Netanyahu if Netanyahu set foot in New York City. Now, he had already said that. That was one of his campaign he ran platforms. That was part of his platform when he ran for mayor. And so he obviously had to make some kind of efforts in that regard, or else the people would say that he wasn't living up to his promises. So I'm going to get into that later, but I just want to mention that that was the one of the things that directly related Mamdani to terrorism. Then last but not least, this September 11th is going to be the 25th anniversary of 9/11, and where there are ceremonies to honor the victims and so on. And as you may know, I have created music videos, and I have had them played on a mobile billboard, meaning a truck, and I have that go around Manhattan. And it's the video is all about 9/11 and all about terrorism in general, how much in danger we are, how much more in danger we are now of terror attacks than we were before 9/11. So there's going to be, more of a ceremony, more honorings this year, being the 25th anniversary. And so the families of 9/11 victims have created a petition to say that they don't want Mamdani to be at their ceremony. Every year there's a ceremony at Ground Zero, primarily arranged by the 9/11 Museum. And the names of the victims are read by their relatives. And usually like a president, or of course Biden didn't come, but usually a president or a vice president, or people who the mayor, people who have high office and who want to express their concern, to show that they are honoring the victims, are there. So this petition that the families of the 9/11 victims have put together, so far they have over 14,000 signatures to say that Mamdani should be excluded from the 25th anniversary memorial events because it would be hypocritical. I mean, here he is every day from the beginning, from the time that he made his campaign promises to arrest Netanyahu, to what he's been doing, to how he's been, not been protecting Jewish citizens of New York, to his various how he has been in office so far has continued to show that he is a sympathizer of terrorists, as were his parents, as is his wife, who made social media posts about October 7th, and both of them have exposed themselves as being very much sympathizers of terrorists and what terrorists believe in. So Mamdani, however, has responded to this petition saying that he is going to attend to honor the victims and the first responders and the families. Now, this is going to be interesting because, I don't know what the law is about this, like whether he is legally able to attend, even though the people who will be attending don't want him to be there, or whether there's going to be violence as he tries to attend. I mean, I think there would be because this has gotten to be too much. So perhaps he'll change his mind between now and September 11th. I guess it depends. It depends just how much support the families of the victims get for their petition. So I'm going to tell you more about who Mamdani is, and then we'll start talking about some of the things that he's been doing. I'm going to start with Netanyahu because that has been a major part of a major indication that he is a terrorist. Netanyahu was just in Washington, D.C. today to attend the funeral of Lindsey Graham. And Mamdani's threats, basically, towards Netanyahu have made it much more dangerous for Netanyahu to be in America, even though Trump has told Mamdani there's no way that Netanyahu is going to be arrested. But the issue is that Mamdani has excited, has incentivized, has gotten his base, the people who voted for him, to feel very strongly about this. And therefore, the likelihood of at least one of them trying to assassinate Netanyahu, whether it is now during this visit or whether it is in September when Netanyahu comes for the UN General Assembly, you know, that is still to be seen. But you know, he certainly is rabble rousing. He's certainly trying to get his base to protest. I mean, he's talked about protests, and you know, the police in New York, of course, are not very happy about this. You know, mainly he was talking about getting people to protest Netanyahu arriving in New York for the UN National Assembly. But you know, the police realize that these protests are going to be huge, and they're going to be attacked. Okay, we will hear more about Mamdani and why I say he's a terrorist and what he's been doing in the next segment. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, your terrorist therapist. Now, I want to clarify something that I just talked about in regard to the demonstration, well, to the bombing attack outside Gracie Mansion. It was not meant to attack Mamdani because these two young men were ISIS sympathizers. So the target of their attack, they were trying to perpetrate a terror attack. Of course, it seems like a strange place to do it, but they, you know, in other words, outside the home of a terrorist, Mamdani. But it was a gathering. It was an anti-Islam protest that was happening outside Mamdani's house, Gracie Mansion, and they came just so they knew that there would be a lot of people there, and in particular, they knew that there would be a lot of people who are against terrorism and terrorists, because they were planning, you know, when they unleashed the homemade bombs, they were hoping that it would kill or injure the people who were there, you know, protesting terrorism. So I just wanted to clear that up. And they face charges, and let's see. They pled not guilty, but the trial has not yet happened. Okay, now let's go on. Now I'm going to talk about Zohran Mamdani, who he is, and also about his wife. This was a marriage made in heaven, let me tell you. Actually, it was a marriage made on Hinge, the dating app Hinge. Who would have thought that if you go on Hinge, that you could meet a man who would become the mayor of New York City? See, there's hope for you guys out there who go on dating sites. There's hope for you yet. You never can tell who you're going to meet. Of course, you know, I would not particularly want to couple up with Zohran Mamdani, but I'm just saying, you know, the man who became the mayor of New York. Okay, so let's talk about Zohran. He is the 112th mayor of New York City. He ran, of course, for the Democratic Party, the Democratic Socialists of America. He is Muslim, of course, and he was born in Uganda to Mahmoud Mamdani and Mira Nair. And they moved to New York City when he was 7 years old. And he went to Beaudoin College. He got a bachelor's degree in Africana Studies. He became a housing counselor after graduation, and he became a rapper. You may know that he became, had some mild degree of fame as a rapper. Not that he was particularly good, but that was where he first showed his true stripes. Because some of his lyrics were very terrorist sympathizing, shall we say. Now, he then became, he entered New York City politics, and he became a campaign manager for some people who were running. He ultimately became the representative of Astoria, which is in Queens, Astoria and Long Island City. And he was elected to the New York State Assembly in 2020 as representing these parts of New York City. Then in October 2024, he announced his candidacy for mayor of New York. His campaign, his platform was progressive. It was, leftist. It was extreme leftist. It was all about, offering free things. Everything was free. He was going to have free buses. He was going to have universal childcare. Now, first of all, the buses so far has not worked out. It's so interesting because all these things that he said he was going to do, which were to appeal to as many people as possible. And who doesn't want free stuff, right? And also, this goes along with his socialist communist agenda. But he is finding gradually that these things that he promised, I mean, like he just promised them, picking things that would appeal to people, but he really didn't have a good plan for how he would do these things, how he would put them together, how he would pay for them. If they were going to be free, who was going to pay for them? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. Also, universal childcare. Now, that is very, very dangerous. What he has wanted to do and is trying to do, I'm not sure how far, it hasn't gotten that far, but he's trying to have these daycares where he can reach the kids when they are super young and use propaganda to get them to believe in these socialist, Marxist, communist ways of life, to be against America. He wanted city-owned grocery stores. I'll tell you about, that's he's running into problems there. A rent freeze on rent-stabilized units, affordable housing units. He's running into problems with taxes on people who own buildings in New York, and he wants to have a $30 minimum wage by 2030. He's also for LGBTQ plus rights. He is for public safety reform. Yes, he wanted to have, he wants to do away with police and prisons, and he wants to have social workers work as police, to be to go out on certain calls. Well, we haven't seen any dead social workers yet, but that's coming. Or we haven't heard of any dead social workers yet, but that's coming. Then, of course, he wants to increase the taxes on corporations. Anyone earning above $1 million a year. So he won, all this free stuff, he won. Now let's see. Well, there's, okay, there's, oh yes, oh yes, we can't forget this. His inauguration, this said everything. He was inaugurated on January 1st, 2026, and he was administered the oath of office in the abandoned City Hall subway station. Now, would you like to tell me why he was hiding in the subway station, an abandoned subway station? Perhaps it had to do with the fact that he took the oath of office on the Quran, making him the first mayor of the city to do so. He used two copies of the book, his grandfather's and Arturo Alfonso Schoenberg's. And then later that day, in the afternoon, there was a public inauguration, and he was sworn in by Bernie Sanders, someone who is equally a socialist communist. So, and then he picked people to be in his administration who were, who also had the same ideas that he did. They were terrorist sympathizers or terrorists. They were anti-Israel. They were anti-Semitic. He picked people, birds of a feather and all that. Now let's see. He's a dual citizen of Uganda and the United States. He was naturalized in America in 2018. In 2021, he met Rama Duwaji through Hinge, as I was mentioning, and I'm going to tell you about her. I mean, there's a lot more that I can tell you about him, but basically, and his parents, especially his father, are very much the same, have led him, have influenced him in his terrorist beliefs. Okay, now, Rama Duwaji, in some ways, she's more interesting and more dangerous. So she is an American animator, illustrator, and ceramist. She is the First Lady of New York City. She was born in Houston, Texas, to Syrian Muslim parents from Damascus. Her father, Marwan Duwaji, is a software developer. Her mother, Baria Dardari, is a pediatrician who also worked in war zones in the Syrian American Medical Society. They married shortly before her birth, which is, I guess, a euphemistic way of saying that the mother was pregnant beforehand. In 2006, she, the mother, became appointed at the local American hospital in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. And so Rama spent the remainder of her childhood in the Arab states of the Persian Gulf. The ergo, that is where she gets her pro-terrorist sympathies. Now, let's see. She had a love of art. She attended art school. Let's see here. She returned after she got a Bachelor of Fine Arts. She returned to her family in Dubai and participated in various artist residencies, including in Beirut, Lebanon, Paris, France. Then she moved to New York City in 2021. And her graduate thesis focused on making and sharing dishes as a communal act. But this is an interesting factoid. After obtaining her master's degree in art, she was one of 24 artists selected from more than 500 applicants for an artist residency in the Catskill Mountains. Now, the Catskill Mountains, as presumably you know, have always been very Jewish. So it's kind of ironic, to say the least, that here she was selected to do an artist residency in the Catskills, undoubtedly, because of to show inclusion and all that kind of stuff. But then she came out of it hating. Well, it was long before she went to the Catskills that she hated Jews in Israel. Her illustrations focus on Arab culture and social justice in the Middle East, particularly women's rights. Let's see. Oh, since 2023, Duwaji has created numerous works about the Gaza genocide and the Israel-Hezbollah conflict, as well as, well, okay. So she met Zoran Mamdani on the dating app Hinge, as I said, in 2021. At that time, he was a member of the New York State Assembly. They became engaged in 2024. They were married in February 2025 in a civil ceremony in New York City Hall, and then they also had a ceremony in Uganda in July 2025. Then, let's see. She helped curate visuals for his campaign. Now, let's see, they lived first in Astoria, Queens, until they moved into Gracie Mansion. A step up, shall we say? Now, here's the social media controversy. In March 2026, media outlets reported that since the October 7th attacks on Israel, Duwaji liked several Instagram posts supportive of Palestinian political violence and the Palestinian cause as a whole, which caused controversy due to her husband's public position as New York City mayor. Now, Mamdani had to, backtrack from that, backpedal. Oh, what's my wife doing? What did she do? She did a lot. This what I'm reading from just is mentioning it sort of in general, but she did a lot of likes of anti-Israel posts. So Mamdani had a backpedal, and he was saying, "Well, she's just a private person. She didn't have any formal role in my campaign, my administration. The posts were liked before the couple married in early 2025, before he launched his mayoral campaign in October 2024." I'm not so sure about that. That there weren't some in 2024. So she also faced criticism for illustrating a work by a Gazan resident in a collection of stories compiled by Palestinian writer, author, and activist Susan Abul Hawa, who has made statements who some people think are controversial or incendiary or outright racist regarding Jews and Israelis. In a press conference, Mamdani distances himself from that as well. He claimed that Abul Hawa's words are reprehensible. I mean, he had to say something to distance himself from that. But when asked about, again, about his wife's social media activity and her connection to Abul Hawa, he said she is a private person, really. She's also the First Lady of New York City. Let's see. Then also, the Washington Free Beacon found that during the 2013 to 2017 period, she had posted on her social media content, celebratory, she posted social media content that celebrated Palestinian political violence. And she used racial slurs and statements like F Tel Aviv, except she didn't say F. She used the word. And so, I mean, this is a woman who has clearly shown her true colors for a very long time. Yet Mamdani married her. In fact, that is undoubtedly what he was attracted to. They were two peas in a pod. And they are together destroying America. So now I'm going to talk about some things that he has been doing, that Mamdani has been doing lately, that show just how that show his true colors, that show that show how not just how communist, socialist communist he is, but particularly how anti-Israel and anti-Jew he is. And of course, that is a terrorist aim. I mean, Iran has been saying for years that, and Iran is the biggest state sponsor of terrorism, and it has said for years, death to America, death to Israel. So people in America tend to think, want to think, are in denial, and they believe that that really, oh, we don't have to worry about terrorists. The terrorists are just, they just want to destroy Israel. They just want to destroy Jews. We Americans who aren't Jewish don't have to worry about this. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. And certainly Mamdani is proving it, because he's affecting all the people in New York City, not just the Jews. But and we're going to be going to the third segment in a minute, but I want to leave you with this for now. Terrorists, radical Islamists, are able to lie. That's why there was this statement for years ago that is still true: never negotiate with terrorists, because terrorists lie. And any negotiation now, certainly I give Trump credit for still trying to negotiate. Like, he doesn't want to kill people, whether it's in Ukraine or Russia or Israel or Iran. So he keeps trying to give Iran the benefit of the doubt and trying to negotiate, but it so far has not been working. Now, I'll give him credit for one thing he did do through negotiation, which was incredibly important. was when he got back the hostages, either alive or dead, the Israeli hostages, the people who were taken during the October 7th attack by Hamas on Israel. And that was something that the Israeli people really appreciated. I appreciate lots of people. You didn't have to be Israeli to appreciate him getting the hostages back. So sometimes I guess there's a caveat. Sometimes you can negotiate with terrorists. However, of course, Israel had to give up a lot of terrorists, Hamas terrorists, that they had in their jails per one hostage. I don't remember what the exact number was, but it was really huge. A lot of terrorists for one Israeli hostage. And the reason why it worked, the reason why Hamas agreed to this, was because they needed more fighters. They needed these people who were in the Israeli jails to continue the fight against Israel. But be that as it may, Trump did still get back the hostages. So we will now go in the next segment. I will tell you about some particular things that Mamdani has done that show his true stripes, and you can't change a leopard's I mean you can't change a leopard's spots, and you can't change a zebra's stripes. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, your terrorist therapist. Now, I do want to make full transparency, as if you couldn't tell with the name Lieberman, but in any case, I am Jewish. I am very much, I love Israel. I was in Israel recently helping people cope with the terrorism of October 7th. I've been to Israel before that as well. So I feel particularly strongly about these things, but that doesn't make them wrong. I mean, everything I am saying, there is research to back it up. All right, so let's go to, so now I'm going to be talking about different things that Mamdani has done so far as mayor that reflects his true stripes of being a not only someone who hates Israel, but hates Jews as well. So now, the most one of the things that he did recently, well, during his campaign, one of the platforms that he ran on was that he was going to arrest Netanyahu if Netanyahu came to New York City, which he was expected to do in September for the UN General Assembly meeting, because that's he usually comes for the UN meeting. So during his campaign, Mamdani was saying, "I'm going to arrest that Netanyahu. Just wait until he comes here to New York City for that meeting, and you just wait and see. I'm going to arrest him." Of course, he then had to take it back just recently because he kind of also backpedaled, and he said, "Well, I have to check whether, as mayor of New York, I'm legally able to do this." And surprise, surprise, he wasn't legally able to do this. There was, it wasn't legal for him to arrest a prime minister of another country, or whatever the specifics of of the legal situation was, statements, orders, laws. He found out that he wasn't able to do it. Well, of course, probably he knew full well that he wouldn't be able to do it, even when he made these statements during his campaign. But he didn't care. It was drama. And it was also drama just recently when he announced, I'm gonna arrest Netanyahu when he comes to New York. I mean, he wasn't planning on coming. He announced it this past week, and Netanyahu wasn't planning on coming to New York immediately. There was no reason for Mamdani to announce it right now, except for the fact that he knew that Netanyahu was going to be coming to Washington, D.C. He did today on July 28th. because he was there for the funeral, Lindsey Graham's funeral, because Lindsey Graham was a good friend of Israel and he wanted to be there to show his respect. So undoubtedly, Mamdani knew that Netanyahu was coming to America. So, and you know, Mamdani's words, especially the dramatic way that he makes these announcements, and especially because he has so many people behind him, they go very far. So he announced this again, he reminded people, oh yes, I'm going to arrest Netanyahu. And 2 days later, there were two people stabbed in New York City, and the attacker yelled Allahu Akbar. And one of the men who was stabbed was a Chinese man, but the other one was a Jewish man that the stabber could tell was Jewish because he was wearing a yarmulke, you know, a Jewish prayer hat, and he was coming out of a synagogue from services. So there was no surprise there. And fortunately, the both men lived, but they had to be taken to the hospital, and they, you know, they were seriously injured. So, point of this is that Mamdani's words really bring about action, bring about, cause his base, who are already pretty, oh, I won't say, well, who are extremists, let's put it that way, who are extremists. It's easy to get his base to act because they are extremists and they, you know, believe in him. They voted him in and all that stuff. Now, let me give a little backstory to Netanyahu, to why Mamdani thought he could say this, that he would arrest Netanyahu. The International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on November 21st, 2024. In other words, approximately a year after the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel. And they charged him with the war crime of starvation as a method of warfare, which of course we know is not true, since if you've seen any pictures of the people in Gaza, they do not look like they starved. Also, he was charged with crimes against humanity, including, or other crimes against humanity, including murder, persecution, and other inhumane acts. Kind of vague there. And the International Criminal Court, there are 125 member states in this, and they technically are required to arrest Netanyahu if he enters their territory. Now, the United States is not a member of the International Criminal Court. So Trump made it quite clear to Mamdani, when Mamdani was spouting his mouth off about arresting Netanyahu, that Netanyahu was not going to be arrested in the United States anywhere. Now, the man who was the prosecutor of the main prosecutor of the International Criminal Court was named Karim Khan, and he has been dethroned, fired, because there are sexual misconduct allegations against him. So, in other words, the man who set into action this arrest warrant for Netanyahu has been deposed, has been fired. So, you know, that shows how serious we should take that court. Now, it's interesting. I was just on a television show in for England, for Great Britain, the UK. And you know, the UK was one of the founding members of the International Criminal Court. So I was talking about all this there, and I had to acknowledge that they were one of the founders. So of course they're going to have a difference of opinion, but America does not belong to it and does not believe in it. Now, let's see. So what Trump said when Mamdani, you know, made this threat against Netanyahu, Trump said, Benjamin Netanyahu will not be arrested in any way, shape, or form while in the United States of America. He wrote this on a Truth Social post. That was a quote, and here's another quote. He is fighting against the Islamic Republic of Iran, which recently killed 52,000 innocent protesters and has spent the last 47 years killing American soldiers and others. The only ones that should be arrested are the people that led Iran into this unprecedented spiral of death and destruction, something that should have been dealt with years ago by previous presidents, unquote. And of course, he's referring specifically or especially to Obama, who was the greatest friend of terrorists, that the president who was the greatest friend of terrorists that we've ever had. So here Netanyahu comes to DC for Lindsey Graham's funeral, and just like the people who were provoked, who Mamdani provoked to, or the person who yelled Allahu Akbar and stabbed these two people, he provoked him right after he had said, "I'm going to arrest Netanyahu." He provoked this person to stab these two people. This was on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And the man who did this is Raul Morales, and he was arrested. He's 51 years old. Now, Mamdani did admit, I mean, there were witnesses, so he kind of had to admit that the attacker screamed Allahu Akbar, but he tr is trying to say that it wasn't a racist. It wasn't a hate crime, and it wasn't it is and it wasn't a terror attack, which of course it was. If you're thinking like the attacker stabbed a Chinese man too, just remember what I was saying earlier. For Islamists, they want to convert, pay the jizya, or kill infidels, anyone who does not believe in Islam. So this Chinese man was equally, or almost equally, not really super as equally as a Jew, but it was included. He was also an infidel. So Mamdani is saying that it is not a hate crime, not, this wasn't jihad. It was the attacker was mentally ill. And that's what people say to excuse attackers when it is so clearly a terrorist and clearly a terror attack. So they try to come up with the excuse that the attacker was mentally ill. It wasn't like purposeful against a Jew, or against an infidel. It was just that the attacker perpetrator was mentally ill. Well, first of all, you can be mentally ill and also be, it could be a hate crime. You could also hate Jews. You could also be a radical Islamist. So it really does not excuse that. Okay, so let's see. So as I said, when Netanyahu was in Washington, D.C. today, he was in much more danger. I mean, he's still, I don't know if he has left yet. He might not have left yet. He met with Trump in the White House before the Lindsey Graham's body was in state, before he went there and before he went to the funeral in the church. So I'm not sure if he's still there, but in any case, he is in danger, has been in danger for as long as he has been in America because of these people who Mamdani has provoked to potentially plan to assassinate him. Okay, now, some other things that Mamdani has done reflect, I mean, to some degree, it reflects his socialist, Marxist, communist ideas, but also it reflects his anti-Israel, anti-Semitism ideals. Now, he published a name, he doxed New York City property owners. He's planning, as I mentioned before, he's planning on taxing rich people. That's his plan. That's his number one, or well, one of his, not number one, but like one of his major plans. Because in order to be able to afford to give the people free buses and free daycare and free everything else, he has to get the money from somewhere. So he's planning to tax anyone who makes more than $1 million, and particularly in regard to New York, his first thing here, he doxed people who own property in New York City, and he's giving them, well, first of all, he's hitting them with a new pied-à-terre tax. In other words, people who have a pied-à-terre, a second house, just a pied-à-terre, foot on the ground, a place where you can, if you live somewhere else, but you can put your foot on the ground, have a second apartment, a second house, whatever, second property in New York City. So he published a searchable database of New York properties that could fall under this state's new pied-à-terre tax. He doxed them. What does that mean? It means that he put their personal information online. Anybody and everybody can now see who these people are who own million-dollar plus properties in New York City. Now, do you think that might be dangerous for these people whose names and addresses and other information he put online? I would think so. Now, I researched this, and you can't, it's not illegal in New York. It's illegal in a lot of other places to dox, to expose people's private information, but not in New York State. It's not illegal to dox someone. However, it becomes illegal if you then harass them in any way. So, needless to say, I'm sure there's going to be lawsuits, and they're going to be claiming the people who were doxxed are going to be claiming that they were harassed. I mean, first of all, they probably will be harassed by people who read their names on this list. And second of all, they're going to be harassed by this tax. So let's see. Mom Dani has said about this, quote, "The best city in the world," meaning New York, "deserves the best parks, libraries, and schools in the world. That's only possible when we all pay our fair share." Now, of course, and he's been warned that property values will plummet. He's also been warned that people are fleeing New York. People are fleeing New York State, especially New York City, and California in droves and going to Florida because in New York City, we have Mayor Mamdani, who is making all these crazy rules, taxing the rich in particular. And same thing in California. Gruesome Newsom has a billionaire's tax and he's taxing the rich. And so people are, don't want to stay in the state where they're going to be taxed, where they're going to lose their hard-won money. People work to get that. Now, I am not saying that if you have more money to donate to poor people or or important causes, like all kinds of important charities, that you shouldn't do it. Of course you should. I do. Most people who have money, enough money, even if they don't have money, they donate a proportion of what they have. And that is what everyone should be doing. I'm not saying that, but these taxes are, first of all, aimed purposefully at rich people. And in New York, who do you think the people are on this list? Who do you think the majority of the people are on this list that Mamdani is after? I would hazard a guess and say that a lot of them, if not the majority, a lot of them are Jews. And really, this is a disguised, he's saying it's about, people who have properties that are worth more than $1 million, but really it's just another way to attack Jews. Now, he's doing other stuff that people are fighting, going up against. Like he's finding that it's not so easy to make his fantasies come true that he made on his in his campaign. So another he one of the things that he promised, as I mentioned, he's going to have grocery stores, taxpayer-funded grocery stores. And in other words, grocery stores owned by the state. And the idea would be that the items in these grocery stores would be much cheaper. So, than in regular grocery stores. Well, what do you think the other grocery stores think about this? There is now an immigrant-led business group that is gearing up to sue New York City over Mamdani's plan to open five taxpayer-funded supermarkets. They claim that his project, which is $70 million, provides unfair competition for nearby stores. So Mamdani announced that there would be a 30% discount on basic items like produce, meat, milk, cheese, and bread in these state-owned grocery stores. And so there's this coalition now called the Multicultural Business Coalition, who are going to be suing New York about this, over this Mamdani's plans. Let's see. And this group is made up of people who own, well, it's made up of 50 chambers of commerce representing Asian, African, Caribbean, Hispanic, Middle Eastern, and Jewish owned businesses in New York. And they're going to be fighting him. They're raising $1 million to fight him legally. And the funds are going to go to their legal representation. And they represent thousands of grocery stores and bodegas, including the National Supermarket Association, claiming that the city is pursuing the government-run supermarkets regardless of whether they will hurt existing stores in lower income areas. And the first store is going to be, it was is planned for East Harlem. Okay, another example. He is, I mean, part of this whole thing is part of not just Mamdani, but part of the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America. They want to transform, they admit this. They want to transform America by pushing barbarism. The new policy platform of the DSA that they released, that they say the quiet part out loud, quote, "We are workers fighting to transform society, to draft a new constitution and create a democratic socialist republic." They are admitting that they want to destroy America and remake it in the way that they in the way that Mamdani is planning to destroy New York. Well, you can tell I feel rather strongly about this. You can look up all these things if you haven't heard about them yet yourself. You can look up these things to check what I'm talking about. And also, you can go to my website, terroristtherapist.com, and see my videos that I make that I have made for the last 5 or so 9/11 anniversaries. I put them on a mobile billboard, a truck, in other words, going around Manhattan, and I had it going around Washington, D.C. And I have been in the truck myself, and to help tell people about terrorism, about what happened in on 9/11, and but more than that, what is happening to America now, what has happened since 9/11. And so you can watch those on my website, terroristtherapist.com. Also, my latest book about terrorism is called Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. So thank you for listening.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.